You're listening to Catholic Chicago on WNDZ 750 AM. During the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago brings you programs about the people, events, and issues that touch our lives. Welcome to Catholic Chicago.
Good morning. This is Sister Lavina Pamet in our Dare to Love program. It's a program that cultivates vocation awareness in the Archdiocese of Chicago through discussion of topics related to vocation discernment and promotion. Dare to Love always airs on the first Thursday of the month. And our special guest today is Sister Debbie Borneman from NRVC. Sister Debbie, good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to Dare to Love Show. Today, we would like to talk about and discuss some issues regarding vocation. And Sister Debbie Borneman really, really loves numbers. And I will let her introduce herself, what NRVC is, which is we call it the ABCs or the alphabet soup of different organizations, and they have long names. And so I will let you first maybe introduce yourself, what community you are, Sister Debbie, where you're from, where you operate from, and what NRVC is.
Thank you, Lavina, and thank you for the invitation to come and speak with you this morning. I am a sister of Saints Cyril Methodius, out of North Central Pennsylvania. We are a community who dedicates our prayer and our ministry to evangelization, ecumenism, elder care, and education, falling really in the footsteps of our patron, St. Cyril and Methodius. I currently minister here in Chicago at the National Religious Vocation Conference, and NRVC, as we call it, really our mission is to train vocation directors from all the religious institutes on best practices and trends in vocation ministry. So we do a lot with how to assess candidates, how to promote vocations, and really how to get the good news out about vocations to religious life.
I think the importance, and I'm so excited to have you here because you are our numbers person, but really we just talk about numbers and statistics and dispelling notions. And that's just basically a tool and not to focus upon. Is that correct? Also, what I would like to hopefully achieve during this half hour is the difference between recruitment, which is, I think, what the notion is of most people about vocation ministry, and really what it is that we're trying to do as part of the mission of our church and mission of Jesus Christ, as part of evangelization and nurturing what is the call of God in our lives. So I know it's a lot to expect from you, Sister Debbie, but I'm pretty sure I trust that you're the person to do it today. So thank you for being here. So let's start with...
I was going to say, one of the things, it's kind of fun because people do say, wow, you love numbers. What is it that excites you about numbers? And let it be known that I struggle through my calculus class in college. I took four semesters of math, and I'm glad that I did. But what happened for me is that when we began doing the CARA studies about religious life, it helped me, when I looked closer at the numbers, to realize that my own religious community was right there shoulder to shoulder with other religious communities. Right. And so words that we would use like, well, we're a small community, or we only have, or we would put those words to describe us, thinking that this was just something happening to my own religious community. But when I look closer at the national statistics, One of the things I found out right away and just popped that myth for me is we're an average community. So when I look at the numbers, it's, you know, this whole notion of the phrase of the diminishment of religious life is so prevalent as one of the key messages. And when I looked at the numbers, it flipped it so that I could focus more keenly to recognize that we don't have to be the scapegoats for diminishment, that when we look at our church as a whole, that the numbers are comparable to what's happening in our church and our world today. So that's why the numbers bring me a sense of hope. And my mission at NRVC is to get out that good news about religious life, that first of all, there's no crisis in the people inquiring about religious life. Women and men continue to inquire about religious life. They're curious. There's not a crisis in discerners. But sometimes people think just because someone discerns and walks away that and they didn't enter, that we only should use professions as a benchmark for success. And so that's my hope in this conversation today
that's
is
great.
To take a closer look at that.
Great. Thank you, Sister Debbie. So let's go on straight to the first question, where you can have your numbers. So how many religious institutes are there in the United States currently?
See, I think that's a great question because people who are discerning religious life or Catholics in general, they couldn't put a finger on like how many. And I don't know for you, Lavina, but whenever I was discerning religious life, quite frankly, I just thought, you joined a community, became a sister. All sisters were the same. I didn't know that there were such a variety of communities mm-hmm. with a diversity of charisms and spirituality.
Right.
So that was for me like a wide awakening to realize. And today we have over 700 religious institutes in the United States.
Wow.
And over 2,000 in the world. And so when you said that wow thing, that's what excites me because when we go into the classrooms in the parishes and on college campuses and we say there's not just five, there's not just 10, that discerners today have a wide choice of religious institutes that they wouldn't want to find information about. So again, it's not just 5 or 10, but over 700. And actually, if we put the finger on it, there's 768 religious institutes in the United States today.
Yeah. So how many religious are there?
Well, that leads us to the next question because, you know, especially people say, well, how many of them are you? You know, and if you want the short answer is there's over 60,000 in the United States when we look at religious brothers, sisters, and priests. Now, here's the interesting thing about that number, and we look closer at those numbers. Often, as I alluded to earlier, women religious have become the scapegoats for diminishment.
Mm-hmm.
They say they look at those numbers and say, look, in the past 30 years, there's been a 60% decrease in the number of women religious. And I stand on that holy ground and recognize that most of that decline is through the deaths of incredible heroes in our life.
Mm-hmm.
Women religious who were never going to be able to replace, who dedicated their entire lives to spreading the kingdom of God. But I think the thing is that it has to be not an either or, but an and. You had to add the and to it, that the number of marriages in the same time period, marriages in the Catholic Church, has declined at the same rate. So there's 58% less people who are choosing to be married in the Catholic Church. So 60% of women religious declined, 58% marriage. And that really concerns me because I'm not talking about the number of divorces in
right.
the Catholic Church. We're talking about women and men who want to be married in the Catholic Church.
Right.
And that impact on vocations. If people are choosing not to be married in the Catholic Church, then how will their children, you know, distinguish that call from God? And how will they go to find out information? So, again, not just looking at women religious and their decline, but looking at the number of marriages and their decline. We also know that the number of communions and confirmations have declined, even funerals in the Catholic Church. So
it's really not just a vocation for religious life. It's really the whole church we're talking about.
Absolutely. And then what is that impact when we talk about promoting vocations to religious life? And I think that impact for us is to recognize how do we all invite people to consider a vocation to religious life.
Right.
I look at my own community. I don't know for yours, Sister Lavina, but there's, like, when I entered in 1994, there's only a third of us that are left.
Wow.
A third. And so when I look at the 67 sisters who support me and my mission and my ministry, and we pray together for one another, I can look back and call by name and remember the memories of beautiful sisters and the work that they've done and their prayer that they've done. But again, can we use that as a teachable moment to talk about how do we age gracefully?
Right.
How do we die with grace? Do we have another message that we could say as women religious,
right,
as far as letting go and letting God? So that's, again, you might look at the numbers, but I try to look deeper to that to say, what is this really calling us to at this time in religious life? So I don't say there's a diminishment in religious life. I say that, quite honestly, we're at a time of transformation.
Right. I think that transformation is a word that is really happening even at this moment. And it's going to happen whether we are going to participate. Well, we will be participants anyway, whether we agree to it or not. And at this point, I think we're going to call for a break. And so don't touch the dial. Please, we will be continuing more numbers. Dispel more myths from Sister Debbie Borneman. We'll be back.
A stranger and a pilgrim in this world. Sometimes I wonder what this journey will bring.
Chicago's Got Sisters, and you're invited to find out more about our life and our wonderful ministries. Hello, I'm Sister Lavina with a shout out to all single Catholic women ages 18 to 40. Join us Friday evening through Saturday evening, September 28th and 29th, to get to know and pray with religious sisters and visit Chicago area convents. Here's your chance to ask questions about discerning God's call with no strings attached. For more information and to register, visit vocationscava.org. That's vocationscava.org. I look forward to your visit.
Have you checked out Chicago Catholic lately? Either in print or online, Chicago Catholic has informative and stimulating content, including news from the Archdiocese, beautiful photographs, and a thoughtful column by our publisher, Cardinal Blaise Supich. Editor Joyce DeRiga tells us about our current edition of Chicago Catholic.
We have a 24-page special section on our three new auxiliary bishops. We talk to our bishops-to-be, Fathers Bartosik, Casey, and Hicks. We walk you through the ordination rite, and we give historic perspective on auxiliaries in the Archdiocese. And in this edition, we take a look at what the local church is doing to safeguard children from being abused.
Subscribe now. Go to ChicagoCatholic.com or call 312-534-7777. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Chicago Catholic, a fresh approach to Catholic news.
Join the Office of Human Dignity and Solidarity for the 2018 Life and Justice Conference at Mount Carmel High School on Saturday, September 15th from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Sister Helen Prejean will be our keynote speaker at this gathering of Catholic social ministers and justice advocates in the Archdiocese of Chicago, where the focus will be on how we can create a reality where all people are guaranteed the rights and opportunities to have life and to have it abundantly. Tickets are $20 until August 1st, $25 after August 1st, and $30 at the door. Please visit pvm.archchicago.org to register, or visit the Office of Human Dignity and Solidarity's Facebook page at OHDS Chicago for more information.
And we're back. Dare to Love. This is Sister Lavina with our special guest, Sister Debbie Borneman. And so Sister Debbie was just talking about how dispelling the myths is really important regarding sometimes putting the blame on the diminishment or the decreasing numbers, supposedly, of religious numbers, you know, of men and women who are in religious life. But from in this show, we hope and we aim to dispel those myths that the tides are changing. And really, if you look at the perspective on a wider basis, it's really is not true. So, and sometimes the numbers do state the fact that, okay, this is what is truth at this point. So let's look at the trends, Sister Debbie, and let's look at maybe the number of who's actually entering and those who are professing perpetual professions in the United States today. Has it increased or decreased in the past 3 years?
Well, I think the exciting news is that, you know, sometimes people have us think like, is anyone really entering today? And well, I heard if they enter, they all leave anyway. And let's just stop that myth right there, because actually the number of people who have entered religious life and made final profession in religious life continues to increase. Matter of fact, in the past 2 years, over 500 women and men in the United States entered religious life.
Wow.
So that's
200.
Over 1,000. Over 1,000 in the past 2 years entered religious life. And in the past 2 years, over 200 women and men have professed their final vows.
Wow.
So you look at that number and say, in the past 2 years, over 400 women and men professed final vows. That's exciting news for us. So when we look at the trends and we pay attention to them, one clear message we want to send out is that, you know, when we talk about vocation crisis, there's not a crisis in the number of inquirers. Women and men continue to inquire about religious life today. And from those are people who are curious. They want to ask. I mean, I think really every Catholic goes to a time in their life when they think like, I wonder if, you know, could I, would I, what would that be like? And those who take a next step are those who are discerners, who meet with vocation directors, who enter into a prayerful time of finding out more about religious life and discerning with a particular religious community to see, do they have the capacity to learn the skills to be a religious sister, brother, or priest? Now, the thing is that not everyone who discerns religious life moves forward towards application. And we shouldn't look at that as a failure. Our vocation directors who work with a variety of discerners, often it's that the person themselves has realized that this isn't where God is calling them to live their life of holiness. And so they walk away from discernment. That's a good thing. And we should celebrate that vocation directors are there to help people. You talked about earlier this myth that, you know, vocation directors are these recruiters and that, you know, they're going to get you and that you can't turn back from them. And actually, no, you talk to vocation directors, they are there to accompany and to walk with discerners to say, tell me a little bit more about your story of call. Tell me a little bit more about what your deepest desire is. And sometimes, too, not just the discerner, but the vocation director may have to say to a candidate a difficult and hard no, that they're not called to religious life, or they're not called to that particular religious institute. So the message about the number of entrants and the number of professions, you know, we know it's going to fluctuate. It's going to rise and it's going to dip. It's going to rise and it's going to dip. It's not going to be steady per se. But right now we can say with certainty that in the past 2 years, over 500 women and men for each year have entered religious life, and over 200 women and men have made final profession. And that's something good to celebrate.
Right, and especially in this day and age when not a lot of our young people even know about this option. And isn't that part of our work, really? Our main thrust, I guess, our goal is to make everyone aware that God calls everyone. There's a universal call to holiness by virtue of our baptism. And I'm glad that you mentioned about marriage, that you can't just isolate one particular vocation and say, okay, you have a vocation. And it always means the myth is, oh, priesthood or religious life or something about church. And that is not true at all. We all have a vocation. Now, of course, our focus is towards this particular option of living a vowed religious life. So let's go towards the religious institutes that we were talking about earlier. What about that? And in terms of, I know that vocation ministry has changed in our concept of it's not a competition. When we're talking about numbers, is that, oh, we've got one, we've got two, we've got 10. So has the number of religious institutes having perpetual professions increased or decreased since 2011?
Okay, so I'm so glad that you said that because, you know, sometimes we hear those things that, well, only those religious institutes are receiving novices or have final professions, and they'll select like only five, whatever the five are the day that are trending. And in actuality, the good news is the number of religious institutes having final professions continues to increase. For me, that's exciting news. So my community, the Sisters of St. Cyril Methodius, when someone says yes for a final profession, they don't have to be from my community. They could be from your community. They can be from another community. The Edmund Rice Christian Brothers, you know, like someone's professing final vows. Like, why don't we all celebrate that in our church today?
Right.
So it's not about, well, they're in that community and we don't have any. I think vocation directors in general, when we know someone who's entering religious life or someone who's making final profession, it's time to celebrate that. That's a yes for all of us, a yes that someone is answering God's call to live their life of holiness as a religious sister, brother, or priest. I think I like to compare it to like when your best friend is getting ready to get married.
Right.
Like, do you say, you know, like, and you sulk and you pout because you're not getting married?
Oh.
Of course not. You're going to celebrate. You're going to go to their wedding and you're going to, you know, all the preparation for that. And the same is true for religious life, that we celebrate all the yeses that people respond to God's call. So when we look at the number, that for me, of all the numbers, this is the one I look at first.
Mm-hmm.
When the statistics come out from the entrance class reports, the profession class reports, I want to see, has the number of religious institutes having final professions, have they increased? And to be honest, I hold my breath every time, you know, because I'm kind of expecting that number to go down and to decrease. And the truth is it hasn't. So just to share with you, so in 2011, there were 60 religious institutes that had a final profession. And in 2017, there were 101.
That's great.
Do you hear that
so
number?
So it's on the rise.
It is on the rise. And
okay,
the year before it was 82, and before that was 75. So we see it now. You know, like, I'm a real person too. You know, I just don't have my, you know, like thinking, oh, that this will have major jumps. We're not expecting major jumps. It probably will go down and go up. But the important thing is that not just one or two religious institutes have final professions, that we can celebrate the yes.
That's great. And so with that good news, let's take a quick break and we will be back in a few. Don't touch that dial.
Sometimes I wonder what tomorrow brings.
We invite you to watch Catholic Chicago this weekend, featuring a conversation with Cardinal Blaise Cupich and video highlights from across the Archdiocese. Here's host Todd Williamson.
We'll take you to a screening of a Holocaust denial film and the discussion that followed. We'll take you to a sunrise prayer service on Chicago's lakefront. And we'll show you how a Catholic elementary school found a unique way to ring in the new school year.
Watch Catholic Chicago Friday at 7 p.m. on Chicago Loop Cable, Channel 25, and Sunday afternoon at 3 on the Comcast Network, Channel 100.
You don't know me. I was a nobody struggling on the Chicago streets, stopping in occasionally to get a meal at Catholic Charities. Now I'm an addiction counselor at Catholic Charities. They changed my life. I know the power of having someone believe in you. I'm grateful to be a part of Chicago's Good Samaritan offering hope for over 100 years. Care to help? Visit CatholicCharities.net.
Here's an important message about Catholic schools from Cardinal Blaise Cupich and Loyola Ramblers Chaplain Sister Jean.
Sister Jean and I have something in common, a Catholic education, and we were both educated by the sisters.
It was the best education I could ever get, based on faith, values, and respect for people of all backgrounds.
Now the sisters are passing the baton on to us to make sure that all children have a chance at Catholic school education. A new tax credit scholarship program here in Illinois offers needs-based scholarships to non-public school students. But the scholarships need to be funded.
As you know, my scouting reports are quite good, and I can tell you that donors will get a 75% state tax credit. That's a win-win for you and for students who receive the gift of a Catholic education.
To find out how to donate, go to archchicago.org Sister Jean and I thank you for supporting our Catholic schools.
Cardinal, that's a slam dunk.
To be faithful, to be more like you. Here I am. Did I hear you call my name?
And we're back, Dare to Love. This is Sister Lavina Pamet with our guest, Sister Debbie Borneman. And so we've been talking about dispelling myths by using numbers and the studies from Kara, Sister Debbie. So the trend has been that there's an increase both in those entering and though in religious institutes that are having entrance at the same time as perpetual vows happening as well, which means they are staying and they're not just like checking it out and then leaving afterwards. They're actually staying. So in truth, like really quickly, just maybe a few sentences of this just so our listeners would have an idea. So we know there are more women and men entering religious life. But on the average, what age does a person or a young person first consider a vocation to religious life? And I can ask you this again maybe a little bit later after your answer, is what influences that? Because this kind of puts a challenge and maybe a plea for other people, especially our listeners and others that they will influence on what is the church's role in influencing and encouraging vocations to religious life.
Well, thank you for that question. And that's a complex question. First of all, we do know that for the first time, there has been a shift that more men are entering than women, and that we need to pay attention to that. That's something different from our studies that we've recognized. And so the important part, you talk about being inviters, and I think that's what I heard you say, Lavina, is that we're all called to invite people to consider a vocation, period. Not just a vocation to religious life, but really to go to our young people today, to those who are on college campuses, in the parishes, and say to them, you know, like, where do you think God's calling you? You know, to spend your life of holiness, like what's your deepest desire? We do know from the statistics that if a person is asked by another person to consider a vocation to religious life or to diocesan priesthood, they're twice as likely to consider that. So that's great news. And then you add to it that the effect is that if three people ask someone to consider a vocation to religious life, they're five times as likely. So in conclusion, I would just like to invite our listeners to invite people to consider a vocation to religious life.
That's wonderful. So so just before we finish the show, I just want to make sure that we are aware that, again, the National Religious Vocation Conference is here to provide resources, especially to vocation ministers, as well as on your website. That's a resource that you have plenty of materials. So if you do have some studies that are summarized, correct, Sister Debbie? And if we need to either contact you or go to these resources, where would we go?
I would encourage people to visit our website at www.nrvc.net.
And again,
people in parishes, to get that information out in their bulletins, in the pulpit, in their classrooms, nrvc.net.
Okay, and there's also a publication that you have called Vision Magazine. Is that correct? So can they also order Vision Magazine from NRVC?
They can go there and they will send them to their parishes as well. Thank
That's
you very
wonderful.
Much.
Thank you so much for being with us, Sister Debbie. And part two, don't forget, that's going to be October 4. That's part two with Sister Debbie, dispelling myths about vocation life. Vocations to religious life. This is Sister Lavina signing off. God bless you.